a number of years ago, my partner and I used to walk our dog Rosie, a German Shepherd, and this was her playground and her swimming, happy, mad space. I've lived here a long, long, long time, and there's always been seasons of debris. I would land up going home every day with just handfuls of stuff. And somewhere around the same time, I embarked on an MA. Part of that MA was the pollution of water and water as a feminine element. Because also within my age and the things that were going on with me perimenopausally, which I didn't realize were yet, and there was an aging and a soreness and what I felt was a debris in my body. In the masters, I was like, here I am feeling so utterly distraught that I can barely move because of the state of the world that we're in and our contribution into that. Could a creative endeavor reignite the creative within myself? Could it give me life when I was only feeling death and seeing death? And it did, because just in the doingness of something, there's some kind of a relief. So even if the world does still end tomorrow, I did everything I possibly could. So I started to weave together things around polluted water. This river really was so fundamental in watering that, because it's exquisite. I love it. It's beautiful. And then I suddenly became deeply immersed in what was going on globally with climate chaos. Within that exploration and investigation, I then stumbled across a research expedition, which was all women, out of the UK, called E-Expedition. And they had a vessel, and people from around the world purchased a leg. And I landed up going to the Caribbean with them, and we were doing depth research, and you pulled up stuff from like meters down, and then you skimmed the surface at particular amount of knot, and then you looked at stuff under microscopes. All of that stuff was happening. So when I eventually came back and we were in the pandemic, many, many months, nothing had happened. I was watching people doing cleanup, and eventually I was like, okay, that's it. I don't care if anyone comes, if they don't come, whatever. I'm setting this day, which was International Rivers Day at that point. And I'm going to go down to my river and I'm going to advertise wherever I can, and I'm going to hope that people arrive.
And did they?
Magnificently. I think we got over 60 people that first time, and it was amazing. Managed to clean a lot.
And where did you advertise? How did you advertise?
I think it was lots of WhatsApp groups. You know what I mean? It's like who's on which community group. And I tried to do the Facebook groups of everybody that I could find. And they had access to a lot of street groups because they were part of the RA, Residents Association. There are two amazing humans who live in this area, and they are sisters, and they do a million other things also to keep the environment clean and fantastic. And they've kind of came to the first one. So I've met them from there. Into that, the RA is also, they've got a group of gardeners, which also do once a month, one day. So we kind of all try and hit a similar area, and then it's all collected by Joburg City. So Rawson, they are very, very good. So always on the big yearly cleanup, they mobilize the entire office. And I think they've been doing this for years and years and years, if there were cleanups and contributing to cleanups and stuff like that. Bridget Smith, who was part of the environmental RA and who has retired, she also tries to come when she can. We've got another amazing woman who has sponsored her gardener every single one since we began. So it's this really small group of people who are constant. Look, it's not great work. So again, like anything that you do, what is the value, and what is the value doing for you? Do you know what I mean? So for me, I'm trying to make a safe space for little critters who could be entangled or choked or whatever. Little and big, because we've got some otter, we've got some porcupine, we've got leghorn, there's civets. So we've tested once a year over the last few years, and now we're trying to do every second month. Sometimes the phosphate levels are really high. This last time they'd lowered. We don't know why. Like, I've been trying to say to other people along the river, it would be great if a few kilometers up they also start to test, and we could maybe then start to kind of see, are there specific spaces which have got a very different reading? So I've invited Professor Chris Curtis from UJ, and then some of the guys who are in almost at the end of their PhD now. And they've come and presented and done some workshops for kids along the river and shown us big litter traps for macroplastic. And then we've done mini SAS, which is where you catch invertebrates in a net of some sort. And then there's this incredibly intricate system of, okay, this invertebrate is X amount of value. And if you've got this many, And then they look and they say, well, the river is in a good condition or is in medium condition. Or not. It's always in a bad condition. There's like barely any life left in this river. It's shocking. There's always string. There's a million types of string and cord wraps in the most disgusting and horrible ways around branches and trees and anything in its way. You know that something swimming into it is going to get caught. You know, you come across a bird that has got a string that's been wrapped around its leg and it gets wrapped around a tree and there it has a most terrible, terrible death as it hangs unable to do anything, and it's appalling. So when I think of those things, that tiny bit of action is, this is why we do it. Polystyrene breaks up and it's a shocker. I spent most of the 2 hours on Saturday on our hands and knees and we were just trying to get the polystyrene. But all of that is just noxious, you know. We got car parts and we get tires and we get vacuum cleaners. We've had washing machines. We have fences and barbed wire fences and you get people's entire stationery. You can't figure out how did that land up here.
So what would you say to people listening? Polystyrene being a very good example, other things like that. What should they...
So I think if you stop yourself buying, you know, those kind of things, and we try and go back to more glass and all of that kind of stuff, I think that is helpful. Does anyone travel with their travel mug and rather get that instead of getting a takeaway coffee? Do we need all of the takeaway coffees? Do we need all of the lids on the takeaway coffees? There's a constant need for an awareness of, I have a choice in this moment to put the plastic on. I know that there are people who are looking at environmentally friendly eventing and stuff like that, and it's a cost factor to all of it. So people will go, well, this would be the budget and that would be able to cover it being an environmentally friendly something. And then the client goes, are you mad? I think that most of our stuff is from the settlement that is under the N1 bridge. We are now starting to get nappies, which means that women have moved in. Family population that is growing underneath there. We get mattresses, we get loads of clothing. We know that when this floods, it washes out everything that's underneath the N1 bridge. So where's most of our stuff coming from? Probably there. Because for the 40 other kilometres of Braamfontein Spruit, there's a bunch of people who are doing some cleanups along the way.
Do those in the settlement, do they resent what you're doing? Are you in their space?
We in their spaces sometimes. If we've cleaned up whatever they might have left at a fire, and there's lots of ritual burning of candles and stuff which are left either open flame or so you're scraping candle wax off trees and rocks and all sorts of things. Just at that end under the bridge, there's a settlement right here at the confluence. And a lot of those people, I'm sure, are very peace-loving, but there's also a lot of people who aren't. There's lots of arms and stuff like that. And there's been quite a few break-ins just across the river. But I certainly am not going to be walking here by myself. Okay, so up to when we'd done 3 years, we had done about 3,000 bags. So about 1,000 bags a year. I cannot imagine what it would look like if we still had those 3,000, because when there's flooding or whatever, which is now just about any rain, it's flooding, pretty much the banks are covered again, do you know what I mean? So it takes you an entire year, and then we get most of it out, but there's years of layering. It's not what's just sitting on the surface. The trees have grown around the stuff. You can go deep into the roots, and you can see layers of plastic and plastic and plastic and a bottle, a thing and a thing and a thing and a thing. 20, 30 years of stuff that's still sitting in here. We did have some deep cleaning right at the beginning when I still had some energy. The security companies in the area, they've been astonishing. Really, in the most part, they have really tried to always support us. And they will send a vehicle or two vehicles and one person or four guys. We had three companies last month and this month arrive. We had 8 security officers and there were 8 of us. Wouldn't it be lovely if different corporates who were around close by to a piece of river or something, can they not go, hello, that's my little tiny section. Do we want to get territorial about stuff? Let's do it properly. Let's brand it. Let's put up some flags. And can they find local people who aren't working? Whatever our minimum wage is now, many people would be very glad to at least get a little bit of a something, I'm sure. It's very simple. Here is a pair of boots. Here is this. Here is a tool. Every day, you're going to look at 100 meters. Can we keep that clean?
People don't come. Is it because of the nature of the work? I mean, apart from the perennial difficulties with volunteers, but...
So I think if you just go, ew, I'm picking up something horrible and smelly that's been in the river and that might be a dead chicken, or it might just be plastic that's been underneath there for so long and it's yucky, okay? If that is what you're centering on, you're not going to want to come back, because most people in the world think that cleaning is underneath them. However, if you go, there is a greater purpose to taking that piece of plastic out of the water, then there is a meaning to it. And so I often wonder if the people who don't come back aren't able to make that leap, that there is a reason that we're doing this. And if you want to just put that down to your property price and it looks appalling when you look out of your great vista, then that could also be a motivator. If it's because of the water crisis in this country, that because of service delivery, I don't know, there's a million thousand reasons. This week, a runner who apparently lives around here saw Anita up to her eyes in freezing cold water, and she pulls out a million things, and he came past and said, what are you doing? She said, we're doing a cleanup. And he was like, let me help you. And he's just joined us. And so these guys, they're there every week. Hopefully more people are going to see them every week and feel like, well, they want to make a financial contribution. Generally, yeah, we're going back to the values thing. It's like what is fundamental to us.
You're listening to Chantelle Nuttyville on This Way Up.
After the break, Chantal talks about what makes it possible to keep pulling dead chickens or plastic so scummy that it may as well be dead chickens out of the water, and her tips if you want to get stuck in too.
I just wanted to come back to when you were talking about people's motivation and the actual, the nature of the cleanup. Mm. You know, you spoke very movingly and powerfully actually about the connection between yourself, your body, your spiritual self and the river. But how is it for you now when you're dredging up the dead chicken or the plastic that may as well be a dead chicken for? Can you feel the river that you're helping?
Thank you for that. It's, I think I started by just saying it's such an exquisite space. And even the 2 hours that I'm there, the sound of the water, the sound of the bird life that still exists there, the sound of wind in trees, I'm not exposed to that in my tiny little flat that I live in with people next door to me. So absolutely, that 2 hours is like Japanese forest washing or whatever it's called. Do you know what I mean? Really, it really is. I think it's one of the few things that's probably keeping me going. So everything that I pick up feels like I'm cleansing something for myself and putting it into a place where, hopefully, if it's going to landfill, please God, at some point the amoebas can eat it. They're apparently getting very clever. So yes, what kind of world do we want to live in? And do we want to be living in a space where we are having to pick up our feet and walk through trash? I'd rather not. It is a commitment to that question, really. And it's as big a commitment as I need to earn money, because that has a lasting effect. So do people go, and whatever religion they follow, are they giving 1 hour, 3 hours, 5 hours, 20 hours a week to pray to a god? Could we maybe put 1 hour into the thing that actually sustains us as well on a physical level, not only on a spiritual level, because other people might not be sustained by that spiritually at all? Does that have a value for you? I keep on thinking, surely the entire 8 billion of us must be aware. We really have to get with the program. The Earth is not a limitless resource. Thank you for your agreement. I don't have children, so I cannot imagine what this must feel like for people who have children. Surely you want to do whatever you possibly can to try and heal some of the damage that humans have done here.
The activism... What tips do you have for anybody who wants to do as you have done, who can't necessarily join your river group, but who wants to do something along the lines of what you have done, create a group committed to making the environment better practically?
What my brain does when you say that is kind of going back to what I did, which was like, can't fret. And being an event organizer, there's a threat of who's going to arrive. You know what I mean? It's like, I actually just have to say, I'm going to be standing at that spot. Because lots of people just ask, and they kind of go, oh, I want to do this. How do I do it? It truly is ridiculously simple. Do you know what I mean? You need nothing, in a sense. You can give yourself a little bit of protection. You can put on a thick glove, because you don't want to be rummaging about in the undergrowth because you don't know what's there. There could be a little spider, or there could be a syringe, or there could be a thorn. So a glove. If you've got a shoe that you don't mind getting full of blackjacks or wet, I mean, it's you and a little garden tool. And are you in a safe space? If you're not in a safe space in this country, you know, have I got one friend that I can take with? Have I got two friends that I can maybe take with? And you go for half an hour. Can you do half an hour? Could you do 15 minutes? I don't know. It's like meditation. Can we give that to ourselves? And in a sense, that is to ourselves in a bigger picture, because I am nothing without the planet.
With hindsight, if you look back on what you've done, the experience you've got, what were the things you're glad you did, and which are the things you identify as mistakes?
I think I've shocked myself because I'm not the most consistent human being. I'm a bit of a gypsy. So the fact that it's been going for nearly 4 years, actually, I think is quite remarkable. And part of that is because when I haven't been able to do it, there's been somebody to hold it for me and that I ask. So I didn't go, well, I can't be there, so nothing is going to happen. It's like, you know what? People are very capable of actually doing this. So I think ask. That's my own life lesson. For me, I'm glad that I haven't gone the MPO route. I see factionalism and lots of politicking all over the country with people who have made little groups, because everyone is still fighting for the same buck. And then you're fighting over the same territory. So we just become territorial again. For me, it's like if this carries on, that's great. And then it's really supported by those who are able to support in the time that they're giving, whatever.
And where can people reach you? Do you have a website? Do you have a WhatsApp number? If somebody's inspired by this and wants to get involved, what do they do?
I have a WhatsApp number. 0836160219. So ARMR is a great resource, Action for Responsible Management of Our Rivers. Kind of it went from Gauteng and it's pretty much seems like it's right across South Africa. There's lots of river cleanups and beach cleanups and things that people advertise on there. You know, little groups of people constantly grow and see other groups of people constantly growing. And so that's spread and has become quite amazing.
One more question before we wrap. So if you don't walk along the river anymore, the river that you clean, do you not see it again for a month? So you're cleaning, it's very wonderful. You're cleaning this river, you're making the water lovely, but it's not like you're getting the day-to-day pleasure of witnessing it cleaned up.
No, I'm not benefiting in a general thing. And I think for me that I have a sense of water as a being. I'm still drinking it in my tea every day. So for me, it's probably also like a homage, or it's a moment of love interaction as a blessing, because I'm blessed with it all the time. So if we really think about water as not only is it a feminine element, but water is also in different healing disciplines. It is our unconscious emotion. But who are we as the feminine? And what is it that is polluting us? And how can we take care of that in ourselves? And we need to do some deep, radical healing work on ourselves and on the water of the planet.
Thanks again to Chantal Nuttival. For her contact details and to see her in situ in the river, visit our website on thiswayup.com.
And if you want to support Chantal, please rate or review this episode wherever you get your podcasts. It helps people to find her and the others we talk to. Thanks for listening to This Way Up.